previously on the Wilson Rush podcast.
You know, I believe that past performance is a great indication of future behavior or performance. And I'm going to say that one more time. Past performance is a great indication of future behavior or performance. Being, you know, signing a player without seeing him, that's like buying a used car without driving it first. It makes absolutely no sense.
Got the monetary money value in there. You know, that's more than what he got paid at Butler. And you know what? What's the worst that could happen? He fails there. He could still get basically any coaching job in Division I basketball because of what he's done.
Yeah, here, I have two problems with this signing for Al Jefferson. Obviously, you know, go where you think is the right fit for you. But basketball-wise, you could have found a better fit. And I don't like the reason for the most is financially. All he had to do was wait to see where Dwight Howard signed, and all these teams that cleared space and all these teams that didn't get Dwight Howard would have thrown even more money at him.
DJ Clips, Rev City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast with your host Wilson Rush, also with T-Lip, Vaughn Wilson, and C. Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 miles. Rev City, your world. DJ Clips, we the best, the Killers Music Group. The Rush Wilson Podcast starts now.
Yes, sir. Wilson Rush Podcast back at it again. First off, got to give a shout-out to C. Rush. He won some tickets off the radio to the Soul Circus, so instead of selling them, he decided to go, so he couldn't join us today. But the producers reached out to Jimmy Williams. He's a big basketball fan, a big sports fan, and follows the NBA religiously. Jimmy, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. How about y'all?
I can't complain, man. Thanks for coming on, man. We really do appreciate it. Oh, yeah, for sure, man. We got T-Will, man, back from the Poconos, man. How was the anniversary weekend, T-Will?
Man, it was spectacular, man. Took the white skydiving in the Poconos, man. Ain't nothing like getting dropped down from 10,000 feet, man. You know what I'm saying? It's something special, man.
Yeah, it sound real special. But anyway, man, let's glad to have you back, T-Will, man. We gonna get right into it today. We always, you know, anytime something happens in the NBA, we like to cover it, even in the offseason. We're going to talk about who's the best team in NBA team in Texas right now on paper. We're going to talk about that impact of Josh Smith going to our Pistons. And we're going to talk about, is it fair to blame Urban Meyer for what Hernandez is going through right now? I'm pretty sure all you guys follow that every day. And we also going to talk about, you know, Dwight Howard. You know, did he leave L.A. because he was scared of the lights, or did he leave because it was a basketball decision? But, T-Will, let's get this one out the way right now, and let's just start, and let's talk about Urban Meyer. We all know what's going on with Hernandez in the news and CNN and ESPN, but I just want to ask you this, T-Will. Is it fair to give Urban Meyer some criticism for what's going on with Hernandez right now?
Well, if you want to give Urban some criticism, I think you can give him criticism, but to blame Hernandez's downfall totally on Urban, I don't think you can do that. I think before Hernandez got to Florida that he was a thug. You know, he is coming out now. Everyone is seeing that. And Urban may have done some things to cover up some of the things that Hernandez and some of the other players in this program may have done, but you can't blame Urban for Hernandez's downfalls. I mean, sometimes most coaches, you know, they'll gamble on guys like Hernandez when they're out recruiting and college coaches and things like that, when they have a solid foundation in their locker room, when they have leaders in their locker room. But, you know, and other coaches, you know, they just will take a player like Hernandez, a great skill player, and they know he comes with a lot of baggage, and, you know, and they'll take him regardless of leadership in the locker room, and it'll end up going downhill for him one way or the other. And Urban, he went through a lot at Florida, you know, not just with Hernandez, but with other guys, and it eventually took his toll on Urban, and it took his toll on him through his health.
Yeah, Jimmy, I mean, I'm going to go to you now. I mean, Urban Meyer is one of the best recruiters, one of the best college football coaches. And we all know college coaches are our mentor for these kids. Do you think it's fair to criticize Urban Meyer for what Hernandez is going through now, Jimmy?
To a certain extent, you can criticize him. But just like T said, he was like this anyway before he got here. So he know right from wrong. He said the stuff he was doing, and it's coming out that he had something to do with another murder other than the one he set up since he'd been with the Patriots. Nah, he knew right from wrong, and Urban Meyer couldn't do nothing to stop this. He could have kicked him off the team, but this was going to happen anyway. It probably would have been worse because he'd have more free time.
Right. So, T. Will, I'll go to you on this one. You did some college coaching, and you did some college recruiting, obviously not at the SEC level. But, T., I'll just ask you right off the back, if you see these kids with these problems and, you know you must win, do you take a kid like this?
Fine. To this day, I think that's one of the toughest questions in college football or in college recruiting period, especially at the high level, at the BCS level, in college basketball, at the Big Ten level, the ACC, things like that. I think that's a question that you have to take into consideration. If I'm on a hot seat, would I take this guy that comes with a lot of baggage, but he's one of the best players in the country? You know, and I think you have to look at your program. What are you trying to do? Are you trying to, do you have a program that you have leaders in that locker room that can bring a guy in and mentor him and maybe attempt to change him? Or is your locker room weak? Is your locker room young? Do you have a young team? And if you bring this guy in, he may corrupt your whole team and you may be out of a job having to explain that to your wife and kids. So I kind of see on both sides, but I really do think it really comes down to the state of your program. You know, do you and your coaches feel comfortable with that? And some coaches are comfortable with being middle of the road. You know, middle of the road teams, hey, you know what? We're not going to gamble on guys. We're going to take these high character guys. The skill set may not be as high, and we're going to sit here and we're going to coach here for the next 10 years and just be middle of the road.
Now, Jimmy, obviously there are some rumors going around that Urban Meyer, he had some drug tests and things like that. Obviously, we don't know if that's true or not. But let me ask you this, Jimmy. Should Urban Meyer, should have kicked this guy off the team if this is true, if he's failing drug tests, if he's staying out and getting into bar fights, should he have kicked him off the team?
He should have at least suspended him. I've never even heard of him getting any kind of punishment through all this. Nobody ever heard about it. It was just swept under the rug. Yes, he should have got some kind of discipline action. Something should have been done. But at the same time, the stuff he was doing, it was going to happen anyway. It's just his mentality.
Yeah, T-Will, I mean, that is a very tough question. I think a lot of people have to juggle that one, T-Will. But, I mean, T, I mean, you coach football, so I just want to ask you, I mean, what do you try to rehabilitate a kid? Or do you just kind of just say, hey, there's nothing I can do with this kid. He's in a bar fight. He's hanging out with the wrong crowd. Urban Meyer said he invited him over for Bible study. I mean, what do you do? Do you try to rehabilitate or do you just say, hey, I got to kick you off?
Well, I think it starts in a process before that, Fon. I think when you're recruiting a kid and you understand that he has some issues, he has some baggage, now you have to determine with your staff, hey, look, are we going to recruit this kid? Because if we are, we have to be 100% committed to this young man. You know, there may be situations that come up, and we have to handle those things. And my thing is this. If you're going to decide not to recruit that kid, let him go. Let him go somewhere else. But if you're going to decide to recruit a young man like that, a student athlete, you have to understand that you're on the line for him and that you're committed committed to this young man. So whatever happens, I mean, it's going to fall back on you. Are you willing to take that risk? Are you willing to put the meals that you have to put on the table for your wife and kids? Are you willing to put that on the line?
Yeah. I mean, I just always find it amazing how when someone commits a crime, it's someone else's fault. That's one thing that I'm not a big fan of. People always want to point fingers. if Urban Meyer didn't teach him how to shoot a gun and how to shoot someone in the back of the head, I don't see how you can blame him. He tried to teach him life lessons. It obviously didn't work. But Jimmy, let me ask you this now. Now, a lot of people don't talk about this because Urban Meyer wins a lot. If you look back at his Florida team, he has a lot of arrests. His players are arrested a lot. So do you think that something should be looked at for Urban Meyer, or you should just continue to say, well, he brings Lane a lot of money for the school. Let's just ignore that.
As a personal standpoint, I think you should, because you're just letting them get away with any and everything at this point. They're still students at the end of the day. I understand, but you look at the landscape of college football, it's more of a business. It's just like the NFL now. Especially with the higher, with the BCS schools, it's more like a business now.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, we can debate, you know, what we should do and shouldn't do. But when money is involved and things turn into a business, you can't fix it. And bottom line with this situation is these student athletes are bringing in all this money and they're on top of the world and they're young. They make some terrible decisions, bottom line. And like you said, it gets swept under the rug. It's just certain coaches' jobs. A lot of people don't want to talk about this, but it's certain people's jobs on the staff just to make sure certain kids stay eligible. I mean, that's their job. They don't coach. They don't run a drill. Your job is to make sure Joe Doakes stay out of trouble, he stay out of the news, and he stays eligible. But until we fix those small things, and like you said, they're still students. Until we fix those things, which we never will because the NCAA makes a lot of money, I mean, you kind of got to wish the best for these kids. So, like I said, we definitely wish the best to everyone involved in that situation, and our sympathy definitely goes out to the victim's family. You know, I just seem like every week he's involved in another murder, and I just really wish this soap proper would end. I really do. But anyway, man, we're going to get right into some NBA offseason news. As of right now, I'll start with you right here on this one, Jimmy. As we all know the teams in the NBA that are in Texas. Right now on paper, Jimmy, who is the best team in Texas?
Best team in Texas right now is the Rockets on paper. On paper, they're the best team just because of Dwight Howard's presence and James Harden, period.
Okay, nice and simple. Very simple. James Harden, Dwight Howard, on paper, T-Wheel. Best team in Texas. Who you got, man?
Well, pending that Dwight Howard stays with his commitment of being a Houston Rocket when he signs if he signs on July 10th, I would have to say the Houston Rockets would be. You know, if you just look at all three teams down there, I mean, James Harden, he's just a flat-out superstar. You know, they have a few young studs that I'm excited about, Terrence Jones and Thomas Robinson also. I think they will flourish with Dwight Howard in the lineup. You know, and it will make the game easier for them. But really and truly, the big two, Harden and Howard, make them the best team in Texas and a contender for the West. Now, the Spurs, they're just getting older. You know, they have great talent in Duncan, but he's 37. Ginobili is 35, but he probably has played in more professional games than anybody in the world in the last 6 to 8 years. So he has, you know, a lot of miles on him. Tony Parker is 31. He has a lot of miles on him, plus he's starting to get those little knick-knack injuries, you know, and that kind of limits him a little bit. You know, the Spurs do have some young pieces, but they aren't the core of the organization. So I think that puts them second in the state of Texas. Now, looking at Dallas, you know, I just don't know what's going on with them right now. I mean, it seems like outside of Dirk, I mean, he's been hurt, and it just seemed like it's been a revolving door down there in Dallas, you know, looking at, you know, from the Vince Carters and the O.J. Mayos. It's been no consistency, really, to go along with Dirk since he won a championship in 2011. You know, their best days, well, they have better days in front of them, I think, and that's coming in the 2014 free agency period.
Yeah, I got to agree with both you guys. I think on paper, you have to go with the Houston Rockets. But as we all know, as former athletes, you have to play the game. But Jimmy, let's take this a step further and let's talk about the West as a whole. I mean, do you have them as number one? Do you have them behind OKC? Do you have them behind the Lakers? Where do you rank Houston Rockets overall in the West right now?
Well, I have them for sure over the Lakers. So I don't know what the Lakers are doing at this point. They're just like Dallas at this point. I'm just confused of what they're doing. And as far as them, they're they're not ahead of OKC, in my opinion, with a healthy Westbrook and a healthy Durant. They're not better than them. To me, I love Memphis. I think Memphis, if they hadn't have broke that team up, the team they started with at the beginning of the season, if they hadn't have broke that team up, they'd have made it to the finals, and they could have took Miami to set, if not beat them.
Yeah, so T. Will, I wanna throw the same question at you. I mean, where do you have these guys at in your Western bracket?
Well, to be quite honest, I do have them as the best team in Texas, but I do think San Antonio got a little better with adding Bellinelli, adding that free agent. I think Westbrook's going to come back new and improved. I think OKC is going to be extremely tough. Denver's going to be tough out there. I see the Clippers. Now, the Clippers are going to be, to me, a contender out there. You know, they have Doc Rivers. They got some shooters there. And now, to me, they have a true team. So I think the Clippers are going to be a little stronger. I said Denver at first. I meant Golden State. Golden State's going to be stronger with Curry and things like that. So I see the Houston Rockets maybe that number three or four slot in the West.
Yeah. I got one more question for you, T. Will. You see a lot of these guys that are on TV that's never coached before, because they're looking at the Houston Rockets and they're saying, oh, Kevin McHale, he's got to really work his magic now. They were the least team to post up this year, this past season, T. Will. They didn't have Dwight Howard. So, obviously, it's not that hard to drop a post play. Now, but do you think Kevin McHale, do you think that's going to take a year to get things together? Because people are thinking this is going to be a project. Do you think this is going to take a year to get the chemistry down? Or what do you think? Because, I mean, the Heat, it took them a full season. They made it to the finals, yes, but they lost. Do you think it's going to be the same type of situation for Houston or what?
I don't think it's going to be the same type of situation for Houston. Yes, they had the fewest post-ups in the NBA, things like that. But what I do think is they're still going to get out and run. And also, when they get the ball to Dwight down low, I think he may be able to make plays, because now I think he has more talent around him. Not so much just more talent, but guys that can spread the floor, guys that can finish around the basket. So I think it's just a better situation overall for him.
Yeah, I gotta agree. I can't wait till this season start. It's gonna be pretty good. Houston's a really good team on paper, but you have to play the game. But Jimmy, I just want to ask you this: how good do you think Kevin McHale is actually a coach?
I think he's pretty decent. It's really haven't been proven, because for the most part, he's always had either young team or rebuilding team. So it's not really been proven with talent. So I think this would be the first time that he actually had the talent to go out there and really coach and compete on a higher level.
Yeah, we're going to find out. I mean, you don't see a lot of post players, you know, taking over and being coaches. You know, usually it's point guards and guards, because they're floor generals on the court. You know, you don't see that center usually, you know, being that dynamic coach. But, hey, like you said, he got the team now. He came out the other day and said, hey, we can play with anybody. So now they have to go out and do it. Well, all right, we are at that halfway mark, so it's time to jump into the freestyle, fellas.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we're going to start with T-Will on this one. It's a guy by the name of Scott. I got a tough time pronouncing his last name, so I'm not even going to try to mess it up. He's been a Cleveland Brown fan. This was an unusual story that I read. I think he was really trying to be funny and say his last joke, because he passed away last Thursday, and he's a Cleveland Brown fan. And he put in his obituary, he said he respectfully requests 6 Cleveland Brown pallbearers so the Browns can let him down one last time. T. Will, thumbs up if you like going out like that in your obituary, or thumbs down, that was a little too much for you.
I'm gonna have to go with thumbs down. Fine, that's a little bit too much for me. You know, I think certain things in life you take very seriously. The birth of children, you know, marriage, and death. You know, when I look around at a funeral, especially if it's someone close, a loved one, you know, I want our loved ones to be carrying them, you know, back into the hearse, or, you know, to set them down into their grave. So I really do think, you know, he may have been you know, making a joke. And believe me, you know, we've all suffered through some tough lying years. So we understand what it's like to lose some games. We understand how tough it is. But at the end of the day, when I've taken my last breath, you know, I want my loved ones to carry me out.
Hey, T-Wheel say thumbs down, Jimmy. What you think about this situation? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I have to go with thumbs up. It's not like he made a joke at somebody else's funeral. It was about him. So I would have to go with thumbs up too, but even though it's just kind of a bad taste at the time, but it was about him. He put in his own obituary. What I'm hearing is he put in his own obituary. So I have to go thumbs up.
Hey, y'all both got some good points, but I gotta go agree with T. Will. I gotta go thumbs down on this one. You know, you want your family members to be there to put you in your grave. We don't wanna call some old former Lions and Barry Sanders and Scott Mitchell to come let us down one more time. But you know, so when I read it, I think that he got his point across. He was a Cleveland Browns fan and he made sporting news. And all the best to, I really do think that's what he was trying to do, and he got it done. So, I hope he enjoyed his life, and God rest his soul. All right. So let's move on to the second question. Let's start with you on this one, Jimmy. EA Sports, they gonna just remove Hernandez from their video games completely. Just gonna completely remove him. Thumbs up if you like that idea, or thumbs down if you think they should keep him on there.
Thumbs up. I like the idea. They're looking at him as a murder suspect. You can't have that around your game, especially with children playing. I'm thumbs up with that one. I can't condone having a murder suspect.
So you thumbs up. You actually like the idea. T. Will, let's go to you on this one. T. Will, would you like the idea of taking him off the game?
Man, listen, I think right now you have to keep him on. I mean, you have to keep him on for one, for sales. This is business. This is business. I don't know a man in America right now that say, I'm not going to bat Madden because Aaron Hernandez is on there. The guys I know is say, you know what? I'm about to be the Patriots because Aaron Hernandez is on there and I'm about to kill y'all. So, I mean, no fun intended, you know what I'm saying? But no, I mean, I think for business purposes, I mean, just keep it out there, man. I mean, I'm getting it.
All right, I gotta go thumbs up with this one. This is getting out of control. I think you have to remove him, and you have to, like Jimmy said, you don't want to condone anything like that. I mean, you don't want to be a part of it. You know, everybody should get a fair trial, and nothing against, you know, Hernandez. He's allowed to get a fair trial, just like every other American. But until this is cleared up, I think the Patriots did the right thing. You know, you're able to take his jersey back and exchange it. I think they did a really good thing. They lost a lot of money doing that. And I think sometimes that it's not about money. You just got to make good decisions. So I got to go thumbs up with that one as well. All right, so let's go into our third question, T. Will. We'll go to you. And it's a guy by the last name, by the name of Puig. I know I'm probably butchering it, but Yasiel Puig. He's from Cuba, and he's been called up in the baseball league. And he's been, since June 3rd, he's been tearing up the league. But we got one problem here. They don't want him to be an all-star. So, because they said he hasn't been doing it for the longest time. He hasn't been doing it that long. So, T. Will, thumbs up if you think he shouldn't be an all-star, or thumbs down if you believe he should be one.
Well, I say thumbs down because I do believe he should be an all-star. He's played over 30 professional baseball games since he's been called up. He's played over 30. I don't know the exact number. He has had one of the best starts to a career that I've ever seen from a position player in baseball, you know. And we have to understand, we're not talking about the World Series here, okay? We're talking about an All-Star game, which is for who? The All-Star game is for the fans. You know, the fans want to see him. So at the end of the day, you know, are we just denying him, or are we denying the Major League Baseball fans, you know, the most electric player in baseball?
Now, Jimmy, you know, how do you feel about this situation? He's been tearing it up, but he's only been doing it since June 3rd. How do you feel about this situation?
I say I wouldn't, because I wouldn't let him in. Because for the simple fact, I look at it just like how Jeremy Lin did in the NBA. Not this season, but the season before this one. He started off, when he first got into the game, he started a tear, and he started, he had like a month span of where he was just dominating other point guards, and then he tapered off. Now, I wouldn't have put him in the All-Star game. This is the same reason I want to put, I can't say his name. I want to butcher his name. Puig. This is the same reason I want to put him in, because he might just be starting. He just might be on a hot streak right now.
Yeah, that was a heck of a point, Jimmy, but I gotta side with T-Will on this one, and I gotta say thumbs down. Let this man in the All-Star game. He is wrecking the league right now. I believe the Dodgers were like 7 games behind before he started. Now they're 2 games back in the division. So, I mean, hey, why not? And plus, the All-Star game is a little bit more supposed to be competitive in the MLB, because whoever wins gets home field advantage for the championship game, for the championship series, so for the World Series. So I definitely, if I was coaching that team, I would definitely want him on the team. So please let him in. The fans want him in. You know, you guys should definitely reconsider and let him in. Well, all right, another freestyle down, fellas. We'll jump right back into our question segment and our topics. And we'll start with Dwight Howard. And T-Will, I'll go to you on this one. Do you think Dwight Howard made this decision basketball-wise, T-Will, or do you think that he's really running from the lights like everybody says he is?
Well, I think it's one of those rare situations where you have two birds, one stone. I think it was a chance for him to run away from the bright lights in L.A. and also to get to a better team. You know, a lot of people, he knew he wasn't going to catch a lot of flack for going to Houston, because now, you know, he puts Houston in the top 4 teams in the West, you know, as a contender right off the bat. So they're not going to question him. It's not like he's leaving the Lakers, leaving $30 million on the table, you know, to be the next center for Michael Jordan over at the Bobcats. You know, so he's definitely taken one franchise, you know, from a 7-8 seed, you know, that was clawing and grinding their way up to the top, you know, 3 or 4 seed in the West, but also at the same time, he's getting out of the big lights and he's getting to a mid market. Well, Houston's not a major market like New York or LA, but they're still a big market. But I think it's just big enough for Dwight Howard. I don't think he was ready for the bright lights.
Jimmy, was them lights too bright? He had to get some shades and go to Houston, or do you think this was a legitimate basketball decision?
I think it's more of a basketball decision. It's been shown that Kobe Bryant is real hard. It's very hard to work with. And then the coaching situation, you fire one coach at the beginning of the season last year, and then then the speculation that you're going to get Phil Jackson, and then instead of getting him at the last minute, you get D'Antoni, who I think is the most overrated coach in the NBA, period. I think he left because of those reasons. And then they're old. And then they cap, the way their cap is looking, they owe Kobe Bryant for $30 million next year. They're not going to get any help. They're not going to get any better on that roster. Then they just amnestied Ron Artest today. They weren't going to get any better.
See,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Jimmy. Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish up.
With Houston, you have a young team, up and coming player like James Harden, who I think is an absolute star in this league, and you got more of a balanced team in L.A.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think everyone would say Houston is better. Here's the problem that I'm having with this situation is when people talk about the lights being too bright in L.A., here's the thing about the NBA nowadays. If you're a superstar and you're chasing a ring and you're supposedly the best at your position, I got to be honest with you. I don't think it matters where you go. That pressure is still going to be on you to win. And if the Lakers, they're usually winning championships. If anybody think the Lakers with this roster is going to win a championship next year, they're wrong. The same thing with Boston Celtic. If you think they're winning a championship next year, you're wrong. And those two teams lead the NBA in championships. I think the same pressure
will be on. And T, what I want to go back to you on this one, because you alluded to this. I just want to understand. It's like, I know LA, they got a lot of championships, but it would just be like LeBron James going to Miami. The pressure is still on him. And I think the same thing, T. Will, will be with Dwight no matter where he went. Even if it was Golden State, not that big of L.A., but it's still Dwight Howard picking his team, picking his players, picking his coach. So I think the pressure will be the same.
Well, I mean, as you say it, Fon, you know, if you're a superstar, you're the best player at your position like Dwight Howard is supposed to be, that pressure is going to follow you wherever you go, you know, whether it's Cleveland, Milwaukee, wherever. But I think when you're in a major market like New York, Los Angeles, you are under the microscope even more. I think you're magnified even more. Whatever you do is magnified that much more. And that's why they're known to be major markets, because they get everything. They don't miss a beat. You know, so in Houston, he'll still have pressure on him, fine. I mean, there's no lack of pressure being on him, but he isn't as magnified as he would be if he was in New York or the Los Angeles market.
All right, we're going to jump into our final question of the day, final topic about Josh Smith heading to the D-Town, man, heading to Big D, signing with the Pistons. But we just got word from the producers that Jimmy just got called in to work. So, I mean, you got to go get that check. So, but thanks for coming on, Jimmy. We really do appreciate that. But, so T, Will, obviously we'll go right to you. I hope it's only two of us here. So I hope it don't get too heated, because the Pistons just became a playoff team on paper. So I like the move. T, Will, how you feel about it?
Well, we just signed Josh Smith, guys. 4 years, $56 million. Only thing I can say, to be honest, and just to keep my personal feelings away from it, but just to look at the move, I think it'll make a positive impact on the Pistons this year. By that, I mean that they will have an improved team from last year's 29 wins, and by no means am I saying that all the improvement is because of Josh Smith, okay? You have Andre Drummond that has taken big strides forward. Greg Monroe, he'll be solid for us in the post. And Brandon Knight, he's going into his third NBA season as a starting point guard. You know, Josh Smith, you know, when you look at him, he brings a dimension to our team that I don't think we've had since, you know, the early days of a Tayshaun Prince on the defensive end, in terms of his length and his athleticism, but not his jumper for sure. I think if we can get out and be, you know, more of a running team and not play so much in half court, I think that'll help the Pistons in the future and in this upcoming season. And I think Josh Smith, he'll help us on the defensive end, you know, being longer, you know, shrinking the court, and that's huge. That is really huge, and that'll help the Pistons. And fine, you say they're, you know, a playoff team. Well, let's hope we don't roll a dice and get that number 8 seed and get a bullet stuck in our head first round, 4-game sweep from the Miami Heat.
See, this is where, now, T, where I know we usually do go with the formula, either be contenders or be lottery picks. I usually agree with that, though, T, Will. But here's my problem with our team. Okay, we drafted Drummond. We drafted Monroe, Brandon Knight, and we got Pope now. So I'm going against my rule on this one, T. Will, and I'm gonna say, you know what? If we believe in this core, now that we got Josh Smith, if we're believing in this team, T. Will, if we're believing in it, I think it's okay to come out with that 7-8 seed and get them some playoff experience. All we're going to do is try to hit the lottery and get another young player, which they're not going to give Joe Dumars a high pick. Plus, how can we want to be in a high lottery pick with Joe Dumars, T. Will?
Correct. I mean, Joe Dumars better just be happy if they let him make a pick in the first round ever again. You know, I don't care where it is. But just as far as, yes, so if this is a team that you say, okay, this Detroit Piston team, this is what we're building, this is the guys that we think is going to take us to a championship, to make the playoffs, you know, that is making progress. You know, but this is where I come in at. Yes, I want to see a Detroit Pistons team that's going to progress and go forward, but I want it to be with the pieces that I think are going to win a championship. I don't see Josh Smith being more than a number three player on a championship team. Right now, the Pistons will ask him to be more than a number three player. That's not putting us in a championship situation. That's putting us in a situation where, hey, you know, first round, maybe get eliminated, maybe add a piece. Second round, you know, maybe get eliminated. So I think it's a recipe to get us further, but is it a recipe to get us a championship? No, I don't.
Yeah, well, like we talked about in past podcasts of T-Wheel, is we all can agree on this. We think that we have to get it done in free agency to win, because that's the way they've been doing it. But I got to be honest with you here. I like watching Drummond, and I like watching Monroe be the 4 and 5 for the next couple years. I mean, I really do. I really do like that. And I think that it'll be a good opportunity to add some more pieces in next summer to say, you know what? They got a good 4 and 5. Hey, they got a good young guard. So why not? Shouldn't I go out and join the Pistons now? So I think, T, that this team right now, I think that we could add that extra piece next summer, T-Wheel.
Hello?
Jimmy, so we're just gonna get right into it, Jimmy.
Hey, here.
So Jimmy, you there? You there, Jimmy?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we'll,
yes, sir.
So obviously the producers reached out and they didn't even tell me you were on the line, so that's okay. I'll talk to them about that later. But, you know, what do you think about Josh Smith signing with the Pistons, and where do you think that's going to take us in the future?
I think it is a good start. It's not going to get – the Pistons probably is not going to get fixed overnight. They needed some talent on the squad, and I think Josh Smith is one of the most talented free agents out there. And for the price you got him for, that's pretty good, considering that a lot of free agents, this is not a free agent market for some reason. So considering what you got him for, I think you're going to overpay a little bit for anybody you got, if it was him or Andre Iguodala, but you need some talent and you got some talent with him.
Now let me ask you this, Jimmy, because you hear a lot of fans and T-Will is a numbers guy. He likes to crunch the numbers. He likes to know who's getting what check, what's getting direct deposited into your favorite player's bank account. He likes to know all that. Now, let me ask you this, though, Jimmy. Do you care what the players are getting paid, or do you say, you know what, this guy's overpaid, or do you just look at the results? Are we winning?
You'll have to, on both sides, you'll have to look at it, because I want to get what I'm paying for. So if I'm paying you $15 million a year, I at least want to almost 20 points a game.
Okay, so what you're saying is I'm going to look at the box score at the end of the year and see what you gave me to what I'm paying you for. That's what you're saying.
Is that you have to. With players with a high payroll, you have to.
Not T-Wheel. Now, let me ask you this, because obviously the Miami Heat wins. We can all agree with that. They're back-to-back champs. They win. Chris Bosh does nothing if you look at the box score. But the team wins. So T, are you okay with him making this money if he's just averaging maybe like 13, 14 points, but we're winning?
Fine. I usually don't cross over, and I'm gonna answer that question. Fine. I'm just gonna need to cross over for once. Hey, Jimmy, the price that we got him for, so we got a steal on Josh Smith, 4 years, $56 million.
I wouldn't say we got a steal. I say we. For the price, if this was any other free agent year, you would have had to pay more because the CBA changed the salary cap, and you suffer with the luxury tax more, that a lot of players weren't getting paid like they used to. So you're going to have to overpay whoever you get, especially with Detroit, because people don't want to come here. So you're going to have to overpay for somebody.
I agree. You do have to overpay. I do. I just think we overpaid the wrong guy. And you said, at the end of the year, looking at the price we paid for him, you have to see 20 points a game, and maybe that'll justify it. I'm gonna tell y'all right now, it's not gonna be justified if y'all looking for Jay Smooth, as they call him, to come in here and score 20 a game. It's gonna be unjustified money then. But I'll get back to your question. Fine. So Miami wins. Chris Bosh doesn't do anything. Is that right? And he's getting paid the max money.
Max.
It's absolutely wrong. Is absolutely wrong. He's tearing up the league. He's raping the league. No one's done it since Todd McCullough did back in the day. So, yes, it's a travesty. it's a travesty, but at the end of the day, you know, winning solves everything. So when they're winning, hey, who's complaining? But when they're losing, oh, he's the hot topic breaking news on ESPN.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But T Will, Jimmy, let me throw this one back to you because you just got back on the air. Now, usually the NBA formula, I believe, should be simple. You either are a contender or you want that lottery pick. So I want to get your opinion on this one. Now, we drafted Drummond, we got Monroe, we got Pope now, and we got Brandon Knight. Now, are you okay with the Pistons maybe being one of those back seeds and maybe losing in five or getting swept to get playoff experience? Or are you saying, you know what, give us a high lottery pick knowing that Joe Dumars is making that pick?
You got to progress. At a certain point, okay, you done picked Drummond, you done picked Monroe, you done picked Knight, and then you done signed Josh Smith. Now you got to progress. You done did all these signs. You done had the rebuilding time. Rebuilding, it should take 3 or 4 years to where you are progressing to the playoffs. So right now, yes, I would want them to make the playoffs right now.
Yeah,
I got to see some progression. I can't just keep seeing lottery.
Yeah, I agree, especially when you got our boy Joe Dumars making those picks. But T-Wheel, now let's talk about Maurice Cheeks now. Now, back in the last couple seasons, T, a lot of people said, you know, fire Michael Curry, fire Kuster, fire Lawrence Frank. I was the first one to tell everybody, T-Wheel, it didn't matter who was coaching the Pistons. It did not matter. We weren't that good. It didn't matter who was coaching them. But now I think this coaching move is crucial, T-Wheel. Now talk about, do you think Maurice Cheeks is ready to get us there?
I think he is ready to get us there. And I think the organization has supplied him with some nice young talent. You know, we made a few additions over the last year or two. And I think he does have some pieces where he can be successful. To really look at our roster, if we stay healthy – And Maurice Cheeks, which I think he will use, what I don't think a lot of coaches use, if he uses common sense, you know, I think he will get us to the playoffs. Will we win a playoff series? I don't think so. Not this year, but getting into the playoffs, hey, you know what? That's a step in the right direction. So.
All right, Jimmy, you know, we did this on a past podcast. You know, we put the over under on Piston wins at 35. Are you take 34? I think it was 34.5. 34.5. Are you taking the over or under on that?
You said it was 34?
34.5. You know, you think the Pistons going over or under?
I think they're going over because I think they're going to make the playoffs this year. Just because of the other teams that I think is going to go down. I think the Bucks, they made the playoffs, they're going to go down. I think Philly's not going nowhere. I don't know what they were thinking this year. And I think the Hawks are going to go down. So, and Boston is going to go down a lot too. So considering the teams that's going down, I think they're going to make the playoff spot, make a playoff berth this year.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I know a lot of people just want that home run signing. They just want to be good overnight. But I gotta agree, I like progression, and I really do think that we had a, you know, even though we didn't get Trey Burke, and I personally wanted Trey Burke, you know, no doubt about it, but we signed Josh Smith. Supposedly today we signed the MVP of the EuroLeague. I don't know anything about him, but he shoots 92% from the free throw line. So if he gets there, I guess he's, you know, he's money, but he's probably coming over to shoot threes, so I have no idea. We gotta research him for the next show. T-Will, have you heard anything about him?
No, I haven't heard too much about him. I have to do some research about him also. But just to piggyback on what Jimmy said, that over under 34.5, no one in the world could have stood firm behind a confident pick. Like I said, when I said under, I was firm. Nobody was moving. Okay. But as free agency starts to take shape and things like that.
Come on over.
And Boston's, you know, kind of blowing it up a little bit. And, you know, Atlanta, I don't know what they're doing. Well, they gave us one of their guys. I mean, I kind of see us going over that 34.5.
Yeah, that's my
default. By default.
Oh, man.
All right, guys. We had another good one today. Jimmy, we really do appreciate you joining us and coming back on. We really do appreciate you, man.
Oh, no problem. Anytime, anytime. Just let me know.
All right, T. Will, you have a good show, man?
Absolutely, man. I had a great show, had a great day, had a great weekend, fine. And, you know, it's nothing like, man, taking our conversation from the master bedroom to the internet.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. If you got any emails, send us an email at WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com. Thinking of emails, I'm sorry, Big Papa. We're going to hit this one because it's been two shows now. So I meant to incorporate this in the Dwight Howard questioning. Big Papa writes in from the DT Will simply, will Dwight Howard win a championship in Houston? T. Will, let us know.
No.
Jimmy, Big Papa wants to know, will Dwight Howard get a ring in Houston?
No, I don't. Unless he was going to the Thunder or the Heat, I don't see him. I don't see Dwight Howard getting a ring at all.
Wow. Well, I'll be honest with you. I guess I'm in the minority of this one. I think for sure he gets a ring. I really do. I think next year, 2014, everyone's talking about the Lakers being a destination. I think somebody's going to say, hey, I want to play with James Harden. I want to play with Dwight Howard. And I definitely think he gets a ring before this contract ends. So sorry, Big Papa, we just not got to your email, but please send us more, WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com. And once again, we always represent 7 Mile, and we out.
DJ Clips, Rap City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast. With your host, Wilson Rush. Also with T-Lip.